Hello everyone. We've got two short readings this morning, both from the disciple John. And the first one is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And the second reading is from John's letter, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. John writes, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Let's just pray before David comes to speak. Father God, as we look forward to celebrating the coming of your Son Jesus, the Saviour of the world, we pray that you would speak to us this morning by your Holy Spirit, through your servant David. May our hearts be open to receive the gift of grace and love you offer to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Laura. Lovely to see you all. Very warm welcome. Those who came last Sunday evening for the candlelight, and maybe this is your coming back off that. It's so good to see you here as well. Thank you for being here. I find as I go through Advent, even having kind of pressed into the Christmas stories many times over the years, that often I discover something fresh, or maybe something where I think, how did I miss that? How did, after all these years, I not notice that? And I kind of guess then that everyone else must have noticed it. Maybe I'm just a bit slow. So you may have known this for ages, but this was new to me, this Advent. That there is a connection between the word Advent and adventure. I mean, obvious, right? I just hadn't noticed that. Advent has the same roots as the word adventure. They're all about a journey, an arrival, God's coming into the world, or our journeying. And so I want to think about this Advent Sunday, about God's adventure and our adventure of kind of encountering his coming into the world and being part of spreading that even to others. We've been going through this Advent series looking at this theme of our deepest longings and how God has come. Love is coming is our theme for today, or hope is coming, peace is coming, joy is coming. We've been looking at in these last Sundays. And so I want to invite Will and Sam to come and help me light our Advent candles. We're on our fourth Sunday, so our fourth candle. And as we light these candles, we're just going to do it slowly. And I'm just going to pray that as we mark each candle that represents these different words, that we would both thank God for those things, but also be part of showing them around us. So, boys, do you want to come around this side here? And we're going to start with the candle hope. So do you want to just keep your eyes on the candle? And as we light the candle of hope, thank you, God, for your hope. We know this works because it's coming. There we go. That's it. Well done, Sam. Thank you for your hope. May your hope come to others through us. Thank you, God, for your peace. May your peace come to others through us. Thank you, God, for your joy. May your joy come to others through us. Thank you, God, for your love. May your love come to others through us. Amen. Amen. Thanks, boys. Do you want to take a seat? The adventure of Advent. I don't know if you've been listening to the radio much or Christmas songs, but I've been struck at how many of our kind of Christmas songs talk about going home for Christmas, you know, traveling home for Christmas. And it's really struck me this year that actually the Christmas story, Advent, the adventure of God's coming into our world is actually all about God leaving home for Christmas. He left his home in heaven to come into our world. And then it struck me that as many of the people encountered the Advent's, wonderful message of God's coming, they themselves had to have a mini adventure. You know, Mary had to have that adventure of a big, uncomfortable, but wow thing of being able to say to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said," and then go with Joseph to Bethlehem. You know, the shepherds, they had the angels coming, "Fear not," they were told. And then they went on that mini adventure, leaving their flocks and the fields and traveling to the stable. Will he be there? And he was. The adventure of the shepherds. And then the wise man, maybe one of the longest adventure journeys of the people in the Christmas story, but they followed that star and they came to the stable and they worshipped the Christ child, bringing their gifts as we've just been singing about. So I want to think today about our adventures, about how you and I going on an adventure, not just over the next 24 hours, but over maybe the coming weeks and year, could really help us discover more about these wonderful truths of Advent. And so I want to start, and the first thing I want to do is to, as it were, encourage us in adventures in experiencing God's love. That's our theme for this morning. Love is coming. Adventures in experiencing God's love. I want to say this to each and every one of you this Christmas, this day. Love is coming to you. You are loved. Love is coming to you. More love than you can get your head around yet is coming to you. I've been thinking about these readings. We don't often think about the Advent story in John's writings because we have them so beautifully kind of told in Luke and Matthew of the stories of the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph. But actually, John's account of the coming of Jesus has these massive themes of love, because John, above all the gospel writers, loves to talk about this theme of love. And so in John 3:16, maybe one of the most well-known verses in the New Testament, it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then it goes on and says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And I want to kind of delve into verse 16, the third word. What's the third word for God? So. For God so loved the world. It's a word, as Don Carson writes, he says this in his great commentary on John. He says, the Greek construction behind so loved that he gave his one and only son emphasizes the intensity of the love. And the words his one and only son stress the greatness of the gift. The father gave his best, his unique and beloved son. I want to delve into that so. For God so loved the world. And I want to just start by being really upfront and saying, I think one of the things we struggle with really trying to delve, as it were, how greatly loved we are, is often we don't feel very lovely. Very lovable. In our world, so often, those that, you know, we kind of equate, oh, well, they're lovely, so they're loved. I'm not very lovely in whatever way. And often the things that we struggle with most are the internal things, not the external things. And so we think, can God possibly love us? But folks, the wonder of the first Christmas, the wonder of that Christmas verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, is that the world there is the world in kind of opposition against God. It's not the world as in, and this is another little great phrase from Don Carson, he says this, the love of God is not the consequence of their loveliness, but the sublime truth that God is love. He says it is atypical for John to speak of God's love for the world, but this truth is therefore made to stand out as all the more wonderful. God's love is admired not because the world is so big, but because the world is so bad. God's love is so loved because God loves this wicked world. God loves the world that is bad and broken and a mess. And God loves the people like you and I in it, who often feel unlovely, unlovable. And this Christmas, whatever your day has been like yesterday, whatever your week has been like, whatever your year has been like, please hear this. God loves you. God so loved you, whatever you've gone through, whatever you've done, God loved you. And you need to get this, because in this passage, we see two things about the love of God. God loves, it gives. He gave his son his best, but his love sends. Love gives and love sends. The love of God gives and the love of God sends. And he doesn't send to us the condemnation we deserve. That's verse 17. And we all deserve it. But he sends a savior. The love that is going to help us and rescue us. The love that, as we're going to explore tomorrow, as we light the wonderful candle at the center, the candle that represents Christ and our faith in him. The love that, as we believe in that, causes us not to perish but have eternal life. Because the response to this greatest of gifts of God's love in Christ is that we believe it, that we receive it, that we go, wow, yes, this is amazing. This is what I want to press into, to make more of it, and to this Christmas kind of discover more of the love of God. You know, there's a bit where the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3, we've got it up on the screen, verse 18, he says this, he prays that you and I, those who are reading his letter, may have power for what? Power together with all God's holy people, all across the world, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Kids have a great song here, which, as I was thinking about this, I was remembering how, you know, wide, long, and high and deep, wide and long and high and deep. And I was thinking, God, this Christmas, this week, I want to delve more into the depths and the heights of God's love. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I found myself thinking about little things that might help me and help you. And they were partly born out of experience, and I'll come to that in a moment. But I thought, what if this Christmas, as we consider God's gift, which is bigger than you can imagine, that every gift you try and remember, oh yeah, and there's this other massive gift that I have because of that first Christmas. You know, what if when you're seeing anybody on that Christmas day in whatever way, maybe it's here in the service on that Sunday morning, you're sitting next to someone on the pew, you remember that God's sending of his son meant that his coming was closer. You know, this wonderful gift of Emmanuel, another little thing I've realized this year's Advent is Emmanuel and imminence have the same root. So things that are, you know, imminence is that sense of something being kind of within you, you know, it being very much, you know, indwelling. And this wonderful thing that God so loved that he wants to come near. He wants to come so near to us. Nearer than you could possibly imagine, whatever you're going through. And so this Christmas time, what could it look like to kind of remember that God is near? Whether you're on your own at points in that day, or whether you're with loads of other people, that God is near. And I found myself thinking of some little things that I'm going to try and have a little adventure of this Christmas. And even as we have refreshments in a moment, you could try. There's a little thing that happens around Christmas time. Often you get kind of, you know, you get people saying, oh, do you want this food or that or something? And or you may be one giving the food and serving it. And I found myself thinking about what could little kind of mini fasts and mini feasts look like in the day. So when I get offered that third quality street, what happens if I say, oh, no? And as I'm doing that, I'm saying a bigger yes to God. Because that's what fasting is. It's simply saying no to something to say a bigger yes to God. But you don't have to fast for a whole day. You can just fast from the third quality street. But in that moment, which could have just been another quality street, you're suddenly turning it into a holy moment of saying, God, I don't need that. I just want your love. And between you and God, you're having this mini adventure. Well, what about that time when you get offered your second mince pie and you go for a mini feast? You think, do you know what? It's Christmas. And I'm not going to do this every day of the year, but today I'm going to have two mince pies because they are a little picture of God's abundant goodness for me. And he loves me more than I can imagine. He's got so much love for me that I'm going to receive this second mince pie as a kind of feast of his love. And in that little moment, you're again just saying, God, I'm receiving your love and goodness. Or what about his nearness? What about things you could do, whether you're on your own or with others, that might just help you know his nearness? Sometimes I find just kneeling helps me quickly go, God, you're amazing. I worship you. And you can be walking past an empty room, maybe it's your room, and just kneel for a moment. And have a reminder that God's love is amazing. You can just raise your hands at any point and just say, wow, and then put them down. There's something that helps us in that. I was on the train last week coming back from visiting my mom, and I was thinking about these themes, and I found myself on the Thames Link train. The Thames Link's the one without the fold-down tables, without really kind of, it's not as nice as the southern ones, really. Sorry if you're working for Thames Link and watching this. And I was kind of, oh, no. And then I thought, I want, though, in this moment to press into your love. And I found myself on a Thames Link train on my own with the other commuters around, just wondering and marveling and enjoying and delighting in the love of God. His love for me. His presence with me. And so, as we have these refreshments, I want to encourage you to do a few things. I first want to just speak to those online. We're going to have you join us again at 11:25. So you've got 15 minutes to just enjoy time with God. Why not look at Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, and just enjoy the kind of trying to grasp the love of God. These 15 minutes might be the most precious in your day. And even maybe think about a character like Mary in the Bible and how she was kind of so amazed at the love of God. She sang that Magnificat in Luke 1. And you might want to just read that again and kind of just spend time marveling at God's love. If you're there with someone else watching this, you might even want to just take a time to read either one or both of those passages. So if you're watching online, do that and join us again at 11:25. What a wonderful youth band, and welcome back to those on the live stream. Thank you, youth band. Thank you to those who've been serving us. Isn't that amazing that actually, yeah, thank you guys. They do this often after the service, but we really appreciate that. And just as I wanted what you received from them to be a sign of God's love, I want to help you see in their serving of you how we can be part of sharing God's love. So not just are we able to go on adventures in love or adventures in experiencing God's love, we are able this next 24 hours and the week and year ahead to go on daily adventures in showing God's love to others. I don't know if you remember right at the beginning, Tim said that this mini series about hope and joy and peace and love are about our deepest longings. Our deepest longings. I've really found it wonderful joy and help to do the Alpha course, because you have real conversations with people as they explore the Christian faith and as they hear people in videos sharing about their experiences or their lives. And so you'll get an invite for Alpha as you leave. It starts in January. But this is a little 1 minute clip from just one of the Alpha film series videos. So here we go.
Deepest human need.
Oh gosh, trying to narrow that down.
I don't know.
Being happy with what you have.
It's family, man. That's all you got.
Money? Career?
TV. I think no TV. I can't leave.
Love.
Hey, love. TV love.
Food.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That was the bottom. Like sex, that. Food.
Love. Affection.
I'll still stick with food. Affection is second.
Love.
Love.
To feel loved.
I think it would be love.
When I do find out, I'll let you know.
I don't know which you think is the greatest human longing. We've talked about hope, peace, and joy. But as that little few short videos said, I think love would probably be one of the greatest contenders. People need to know their love. People long to know their love. And I hope from the first part of this service, you are coming to realize that you are loved. God loves you. God is love. And love, as the youth band was singing, love is born. Love came that first Christmas. And Jesus has arrived so that you and I can know we're loved. You and I can know that we are rescued from the things that trap us and make us so aware that we feel unlovely. So God's love gives us things, but it forgives us things. God's love is for each one of us as we turn and believe and receive, like we did with these refreshments and like we're going to be thinking more about tomorrow. But God's love can also pour through you to others. Maybe others who this Christmas need to know they're loved. God is able to, as he loves us, help us love. And again, I was thinking about these two things that we see in both John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, but also in 1 John 4, that love gives and love sends. Can you say that with me? Love gives and love sends. It's like love has a giving part and a going part. And that's what we see in God's love, and that's what we can do too. We can be those who, this next 24 hours, give. It might not be a gift. It might be our presence. That's the presence that's our being there, just in case you're mishearing it. It might be that our gift as well is allowing someone else to be present. One year, my kind of Christmas present of choice for people was the book written by Charlie Mackesy called The Fox, the Horse, the Mole, and the Boy. Great little thing. We've got a little picture from his there. I love this. This is one of the little pictures and quotes. It says, "The fox never really speaks," said the boy. "No, but it's lovely he is here," said the horse. Your gift to someone might be just being there because it's lovely for them that you're here. And you might think, I feel like rubbish company. But I don't know, your mom or your friend or whatever feels like, it's just so nice you're here. Or it might be the other way around, that your gift to them is a bit like, for the fox, it's just great to be able to communicate to them, we just thrilled you're here. So it might be your presence. It might be going and being with someone. It may be praying for them. We're going to have an opportunity in a moment where the prayer team are going to be available to pray with you, for you to have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is God's love, but maybe also to pray with you for someone that you want to show love to in this week ahead. Because God is able to help you and I give and go, to be joining him in love giving and love sending. And there might be just even a message you send this Christmas that actually brings blessing and reminds people that they're loved. It's amazing that God wants to help us. In 1 John 4, it says this. It says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him." There's the love of God sending his son. And then it really emphasizes it and underlined it. And it says this: "This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his one and only son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." It's that love of God which covers over our failure to love. The love of God that covers over our selfishness, but that transforms it as it does that, because it goes on and says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us," what does this next line say? "We also ought to love one another." This next week, year, you and I are going to have many opportunities to go on adventures of showing God's love. You know what the thing is about an adventure? It often requires you to leave what is a bit cozy and comfortable, to move. It's sometimes costly. It sometimes has a bit of sacrifice in it. And it might be as simple as getting up and saying, "I'll take the bin out," or "I'll do the washing up," or "I'll move towards that person, just knock on their door, seeing if they're okay between Christmas and New Year," or "I'll give them a call, just say I love thinking of you and praying for you and want you to know that you're loved." And we are able to be part of showing God's love to others this Christmas time. I was thinking about this, and I've found it so helpful often at weddings to use an illustration, which many here might have heard me use before, but I want to kind of end with this. And it's an illustration about how, as we try to love, we're kind of pouring into other people's lives. And I often do this just with glasses, but I thought, it's Christmas, so I've got champagne flutes. Woo. This is you, this is someone around you this Christmas. I'm moving away from the microphone and the speaker. And the thing is about champagne glasses as opposed to other glasses is actually there's a less space in them. Because if love is like pouring into the life of someone else, someone in need, you pour. And the thing is, in a champagne flute, it doesn't take much pouring for you to realize you've not got much left. And because it's Christmas, you try and pour out a lot. You give and give, and it's okay. Don't worry, we have baptisms here, and I'm away from the electrics. But the challenge comes is very quickly we feel empty. Very quickly we feel like, oh, I don't think I've got much more left to give. And because it's Christmas time when we're already pretty exhausted, it can easily feel like we go into it feeling like we've hardly got anything. And so we wait. We think, well, I did that. I did that bit of loving and showing. I'm going to wait to see if someone else does something to me. And we wait. And hopefully someone does. They pour into your life. And they've helpfully show God's love to you in some way. And so this can go on quite well, except that it probably will get to about 5 o'clock on Christmas Day, and people are just feeling like, well, I'm now going to wait because they're not pouring back anymore. I've done all the pouring, and I am empty. And so you wait. And relationships, friendships, family become stagnant because people stop pouring love into each other's lives. Whole communities. And it's not surprising because we get worried. We're not going to have enough. And the amazing thing is that actually, that first Christmas, love came. And Romans 5:5, wonderful verse, says, God has poured his love into our hearts. This is like the love of God, which is bigger than, I looked for the biggest jug I could find. I wanted a vat, but I was worried I wasn't going to be able to lift it. And actually, go and see the sea. That's the best picture. God's love is never going to run out, and it will pour into your life anytime you need it. That's why those mini and micro feasts and fasts are going to be so important. You don't have to wait till the morning. You might need it at 5 o'clock tomorrow. A chance to say, God, would you pour into my life in such an abundant measure that even though I felt I was empty 2 minutes ago, your love is going to help me so that I can keep pouring. Because what happens is so often others get empty and then we can keep pouring into their lives. Oh, there's a microphone there. Missed it. And so, brothers and sisters, that is how you and I can keep showing God's love to others by allowing him to keep pouring into us. Because as a very wise woman once said, Amy Carmichael, I love this lady's writings. I know my mum, who's thankfully at home just before Christmas, also loves her writings, says this, if love flows in, love will flow out. If God's love flows into your life, it will overflow. And you will have stuff to pour into the lives of others. If love flows in, love will flow out. And so back to the quote, it ends like this. Let love flow in. If you and I will let God's love flow into our lives, this afternoon, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Boxing Day, if everyone decides they're not going to do anything for anyone else on Boxing Day, guess what? It's a nightmare day. But if you can, on Boxing Day, think, oh, I can keep giving, keep loving, keep forgiving, because God loves me and has given to me and forgiven me, and I can keep going. As love pours in, love will flow out. So let love pour in. And that is why I would love, as we go forward, I've got a little prayer from a Lectio app. It's the first one. Ben, the one from the app. Yeah, this little prayer. This is a prayer. I use this kind of devotional app and really encourage you as you start the new year, it could be a great one to get using. And it just says this. This is from some weeks and months back, but I found it so helpful I wrote it down. Jesus, will you open my mind and heart to new thoughts and ideas? I want to experience your love today, like the first day I met you. And maybe even this could be that day. I set aside my worries and cares. and I rest in your love. And as you then receive his love, it will flow out of you the rest of this day. And so maybe we could just stand, if you're able, together. Mort and the band are going to come on up. And I'm just going to pray that prayer. You can pray it along with me if you want to. And then after that, I'm going to ask the prayer ministry team to be out, and they're going to be willing to pray for anyone who wants that power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is God's love, or wants to pray for someone specific that you know you feel God's calling you to move towards. So let's just have that prayer. Jesus, will you open my mind and heart to new thoughts and ideas? I want to experience your love today. Like the first day I met you, I set aside my worries and cares, and I rest in your love. So Lord, thank you for your love. Help me love others. In Jesus' name.